This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. For more information, go to www.berwynag.org.
Upon completion of Moody Graduate School, when I left Moody Bible Institute, and at the end of the graduation ceremony, I was getting on to the expressway with my family right after the ceremony was finished. Now, as I was getting onto the expressway, I began to think how I was never going to go back to Moody Bible Institute. I realized I wasn't going to go back to this school. Now, this is a place where I had spent 4 years in undergrad and 2 years in grad school. And as I started thinking how I was never going back, I began to miss it. I began to miss the fact that I wasn't going to be there no more. Now, this is a place where we were literally tortured academically for the whole time we were there. I mean, these were nights of no earlier than 12 o'clock at night going to bed. In grad school, it was always 1, 2 in the morning going to bed. It was just torture. It was a place of just constant academic rigor, but it was also a place of great blessing. It was a place of that I was safe and secure, a place where, you know, my family and me, we grew during that time. And it was because of that I began to miss it. This difficult and wonderful period of our life was over. And I was sad. And you know why? But this is like a transitional time for us. It was a transitional moment in our life. Because now we had to go in new directions. We had to accomplish new things. We had different challenges before us. So it was a transitional period of our lives. We were wondering, where were we going to go? What were we going to do? What would our experiences be like? And the only way I could receive a positive answer to those questions in life was to discover God's will and then to do it. Because, church, we are all going to experience times of transition in our lives. Some of us might be going through transitions now. Some of us might have gone through transitions. And I guarantee you, you will be going through transitions. So it's important that we know how to find out the will of God during these transitional moments in life. And that's what we're going to talk about. See, because Paul discerned exactly what God wanted him to go in preaching the gospel to new areas during a transitional moment on his second missionary journey. And we, church, have got to discern God's will during times of transition. We got to figure out what is it that God desires of us during times of transitions. And discerning the will of God during transitional times will help us to do and profit for the plan of God in our lives. Amen. So in what ways, church, I want us to ask the question today, what ways can we discern the will of God? That's always a question. I don't know what to do in this situation, Pastor. What direction am I supposed to go? What does God want me to do? I'm at a crossroads and I don't know which way to go. What does God want me to do? Where does he want me to go? That is trying to discover the will of God. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at how the Apostle Paul did it. And I want to try to apply that into your own lives, okay? So let's look at our scripture. We're in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 6 through 10. Give me an amen when you're there.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of being able to open it in a country that's free and allows us to read it without persecution, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to take what we are hearing today and not just leave it in our head, but to apply it to our hearts so we can live out the truth. For you desire not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a little context on what's been happening so far. You see, Paul and Barnabas had just finished their first missionary journey, and they were heading out onto their second missionary journey. They wanted to go eastward on this missionary journey. They wanted to go into new territory with the gospel, but the direction of the Holy Spirit put them in an opposite point. See, they wanted to go one way, but the Holy Spirit wanted to take them another way. Their plans were not necessarily what God's plans were for them. And that's what I want to look at. I want to look at how the Spirit of God led them and how they discerned the will of God during this transitional moment for them. So let's look at the first point, the prohibiting of movement. Let's look at the prohibiting of movement. Look at verse 6 through 7. Paul's missionary endeavors had certain limitations placed on them by God through the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening in verse 6 through 7. Notice that the Spirit forbid the movement of Paul to go to certain places that he wanted to go. Paul wanted to go to certain places, but the Holy Spirit said, no, you ain't going there. Look it, he desired to visit more churches. And we know that because he had just finished preaching his first missionary journey. And then, and that was happened in Acts 13 through Acts 14. That was the first missionary journey of Paul, when Paul went to, with Barnabas to Asia Minor. That was the first missionary journey. So Paul was staying in Antioch. What's happening now is he's staying in Antioch, and he's trying to decide where he needs to launch out this new mission. And we know that Paul wanted to go back and visit the believers of those churches that he had established in the first missionary journey. And we notice by Acts chapter 15, verse 36, he tells us he wanted to go back and revisit the churches that he had already established. That was Paul's plan. He wanted to check those churches out and see how they were growing, how they were going, how they were developing. He wanted to take the mission southward, and that was specifically to the southwest. So he specifically wanted to take the mission southward. And this was, the Bible tells us this is towards the Roman province of Asia. Now, this isn't modern Asia, y'all. This is towards the area of Turkey. So he wanted to take to the area of Turkey, and he was probably wanted to visit Ephesus, which was an important city and an important place of establishment for the gospel. So he probably wanted to visit Ephesus and see what was going on over there. And Paul was planning to penetrate after that. He wanted to go further into Asia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit stopped him cold. The Holy Spirit stopped him in his plans. So then, you know what Paul wanted to do? After the Holy Spirit stopped him from going in one direction, Paul decided he wanted to take the mission northward. So the Spirit stopped him from going here. So Paul, being a man of action, said, well, I'm going to go in this direction. So Paul began to take the mission northward. And it says he went north towards Bithynia. That was by the border of Mysia. And I know it's getting confusing because we got all these places and, you know, I'm taking you all these different directions, but that's what the gospel's telling us. So I'm just telling you what the gospel's telling us. It seems confusing, but try to follow along, okay? He's taking them north towards Bithynia by the border of Mysia. Then the Spirit told them not to go further north. So here he was going in one direction. The Spirit stops him. He says, okay, then I'll head north. Spirit stops him again. He can't go northward. And as a result, Paul and his two companions, were Silas and Timothy. They went in only direction they could, and that was towards Troas, and that was a city by the sea. And so they couldn't go north or south, so then they began to head west. They began to head west, Paul and his two companions. See, the Spirit tested Paul to see if God's will would be a priority in his life. The Spirit tested to see if it would be a priority. And he did this by closing certain doors to Paul and prohibiting certain movements that he could take. So he stopped Paul. And now, you know, I'm trying to think of the idea of what was going through Paul's head at the time. And I think, you know, I think he might have been perplexed by what God was doing, you know, this sudden move of God. Like, why is God closing doors and stopping me from going in certain directions? And why was he perplexed? Because he was having a lot of success. Paul was having success in these areas that he was ministering in. And he was probably thinking, why stop now? Everything up to the second missionary journey was a success. The Bible never tells us things were going wrong. So he's probably thinking, why does God want me to stop now? And you know what else? Why I think Paul might have been perplexed about all this stuff is because God never told Paul other places not to go. But why start now? Why was it now that God was telling them and shutting doors and saying, don't go any further in this direction. Don't go in this direction. So Paul had to have been stressed out about what the heck is going on. Why is the Spirit leading me in these directions? So I think it kind of caused a little stress level in Paul, thinking, what is the Spirit doing? And I think there might have been some stress in the Spirit's leadership, because what Paul's plans were was not God's plans. The directions that Paul wanted to go was not the direction that God wanted him to go. So I think it might have given him a little stress. Also, he wasn't given a reason for the rejection of his plans. Nowhere in Scripture does it say God told Paul not to go this reason because. He just stopped him. No reason. Does God have to give a reason? No. He's God. But it would be nice sometimes if we got a reason for his actions, right? But he didn't give him nothing. He never told him why he was stopping him. All right. Also, he was not told what to do. Don't you notice that? Paul isn't told what to do. He's just stopping him from moving, not giving him any reason, and then not telling him what to do. What the heck is going on with you, Lord? I would have been saying that. I'm probably Paul was saying that too. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're going to have next for me. But Paul went and did it. Paul went and moved. You know, his patience might have been stretched because he had to wait. You know, his patience might have been stretched. And I think it took faith on Paul's part to continue to keep moving in different directions. But he still did it, you know. But Paul's strategy, I want you to know that it wasn't canceled or postponed. I mean, it was not canceled. It was just postponed. Because later on, Paul reached some of these places with the gospel. We know that he went to places like Ephesus. We know that because he wrote Ephesians over there. So we know places that he wanted to go, he eventually went back there. And also some of the places received the gospel through other people. Some of these places that he wanted to go, he wasn't able to go, but other people reached these places. And we know that because 1 Peter 1:1 tells us that the gospel was received in the Roman province of Bithynia. So we do know that some of these places were eventually reached, but then some of them were never reached with the gospel. Some of these places Paul wanted to go were still never reached with the gospel. Some of these places in the Middle East and in certain parts of Asia. And we don't know why God didn't, you know, reach the gospel with these places with the gospel. We don't know why. Maybe they weren't ready. Maybe they would never receive it. For whatever the reason, boom, that was it. Paul did what God directed him to do. If he stopped them, Paul stopped. But he never stopped moving. He kept going. There was never a pause in the actions of Paul. Isn't that great? Doesn't that give you confidence in Paul and some of the things that he was doing? You know what type of individual this man was? That this was an awesome man of God? Man, I mean, I look at the Apostle Paul and I think, man, I wish I could just be half the type of man that he was. Because he was an incredible man of God. And I think that's why God chose him. Well, you know, there was a musical team from a church in India. And they had traveled to Nepal to attend a church conference. Well, on their way back to India, they were stopped by the local police, and they took the team leader, and they locked him up in prison. So they locked him up, and they arrested him, and they confiscated his van. But you know what? Several of the police officers then took the van, the musical team's van, and took it on a personal trip about 150 miles away. And it was a place called Dahan Kandi. And they took it 150 miles away. But as the van traveled through the forest, it was attacked by robbers. It was attacked by robbers, and these robbers thought that this van was going to be filled up with Christians. So they were going to go and kill the Christians and take their equipment. But to their surprise, police popped out of this van, and they repelled the robbers, sent them running in different directions. And when the team leader found out, what did he say? He says this. He said, "Praise be to God who saved our lives." He said, "Praise be to God." He told the Nepalese police chief, he told him how God used his arrest to save his life and the life of the team, the rest of the Christians on the team. So the police chief agreed that they were blessed by God, and he decided to release them. And as a result, the minister preached not only to the police chief, but he preached to the entire police station. Many of them received the Lord, including the police chief, and he was able to pray with them. So I want you to know God can and does use negative experiences for his own good. Your negative experiences maybe aren't for you. Maybe they're for somebody else. Maybe what you're going through right now ain't about you. Maybe it ain't about you. Maybe it's about somebody else. So I want us to look in our notes. Look to the negative experiences we have. Look to the negative experience we have, and we look to our negative experiences to determine God's will. Look to your negative experiences to determine God's will. Look at why? Because God's will is sometimes revealed to us in our negative experiences. It's sometimes revealed to us, sometimes through closed doors. Sometimes when we have a closed door, and that's when God holds back something that we believe is best for us, and the door gets shut. It could be God's will. Don't get discouraged. Also, prohibited movement, when you want to go somewhere and God stops you from going in a certain direction. That could be God's will. These negative experiences could be God's will. He's stopping you from going somewhere for a reason. Or also, a missed opportunity. Maybe you think this is the opportunity of your life. And you're like, man, if I just get this opportunity, everything's going to be gravy for me. But actually, it's not going to be gravy. God knows. He says, I'm going to make you miss this opportunity. Because if you take this opportunity, it could be disaster later on. So negative experiences can help us to determine the will of God. Negative experiences can also be a test to see if God's will is our priority. God will sometimes use negative experiences to see if his will is a priority in your life. Why is that important for God's will to be a priority in your life? Why? Because God wants to know how far you want to go with him. He wants to know that. He wants to know that. And every single one of you will experience this test. Everybody will experience this test. Why? Because God wants to use you in service. He wants to use you in service. And he knows that if he can give you a negative experience and you overcome this negative experience and still follow after his will, he's going to use you in greater and greater and greater areas of responsibility within his church. So don't run from negative experiences. They can be a test to see if your will is, if God's will is your priority. Also, negative experiences can be perplexing as we seek to do God's will. It can be perplexing. I'll be the first one to admit, I don't always know what God's doing when I have negative times in my life, when I got a negative experience. I don't always understand why are you doing this, Lord? Why is this happening to me, God? Why is this going on? I don't know. Our faith in God's wisdom can come into question at some of these points. Why? Because sometimes God's ways are not our ways. All right, his ways are not our ways, so we don't always understand them. So it's okay if you're perplexed by what's going on in your negative experiences. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But as long as you know that you trust in the Lord and that his wisdom is the best for you, you remember that your mind is finite. And what I mean by finite is it doesn't know everything. In fact, it barely knows anything. Okay, not just your mind, my mind too. We all in the same boat, okay? We all in the same boat, but God's mind is infinite. God is omniscient. You know what omniscient means? All-knowing. He knows everything. So we trust in him. We trust in him. So yeah, we might be perplexed, but we know God ain't perplexed. We might not know what's going on, but we trust that God knows what's going on. So trust in the mind of God. Trust in his wisdom. Also, negative experiences can be stressful as we seek to do God's will. They can be stressful. You know, not having a clear understanding of what's going to happen in the future, it's not going to necessarily bring you peace. You know, not knowing if this is the right way to go, if this is the right turn for me to take, not knowing that is not always an easy road to take. It's not always easy on your stomach. It's not always easy on your mind. It's times of great stress when this happens. It's anxiety because you don't know what's going to happen next. And again, it's okay. Stress is okay. It's what you do with it. What you do with your stress. I take my stress and I take it to God. And I say, God, you know, I'm worried. I'm anxious about this situation because I don't know what the future holds. So I'm giving it to you, Lord. You take care of me. Take care of me not only physically, but emotionally, because sometimes I feel like I'm going to lose it, Lord. You know? So take that stress to God. Also, negative experiences can stretch our patience as we seek to do God's will. It can stretch our patience. But always remember that God's time is the best time. We might want it now, but God says, if I give it to you now, there's going to be disaster later on. So I believe if God holds something back from me, I say, Lord, I believe that. I trust in you, Lord. I trust that your timing is the best timing because you've already seen the end result. Because you've already seen it as a finished product. Okay? And I haven't seen it as a finished product. I don't always know what's the best timing for you, Lord. But when we have these times that we have to stretch our patience, when we have these times where we have to wait upon the Lord, like Paul had these times where he had to wait upon the Lord, use these times to grow closer to God. Use these times to lean more upon God. Too often we don't lean upon God during these times. We lean on our families and we tend to lean on them and push them away. Don't do that. Lean upon God. God wants to be there with you. Amen. He wants to go alongside of you. So stay with it. Use these times to get closer to the Lord, y'all. Okay? Use these negative experiences to get closer to the Lord, to lean upon God. Are y'all tracking with me so far? Good, good. Y'all tracking. Good, good. So we see that God, through his missionary, and God, through the Holy Spirit, he restricted some of Paul's missionary attempts. But God not only did that, but there was also a, you know, pleading for help. There was also a pleading for help. So we saw that God prohibited movement, but there was also a pleading for help in this passage. And that's what I want to look at, 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9. We see that Paul continued missionary endeavors, though temporarily halted, were furthered by knowing a vision from God. So though his missionary endeavors was halted temporarily, they were furthered because he received a vision from God. And that's in verse 8 and 9. So let's look at verse 8 and 9, y'all. First it says, Paul kept going. Paul kept going. He passed through Mysia down to Troas. He never ceased in service to God. He continually ministered where he was at. Continually. And notice, he didn't complain to God or others. There was no complaint. I don't read in Scripture any complaining that Paul did. There was no complaining. I don't read about any discouragement where he wanted to quit on God, where he wanted to dump the whole Christian faith. I don't read about any discouragement. Instead, I see a man who waited on the Lord and trusted in the Lord for instructions that would move him where God wanted him to go. That's what I see. That's the type of man that I see, a man who trusted in instructions from the Lord. So when God's timing was ready, the Bible tells us that Paul was called to Europe. And that's what Macedonia represented, was Europe, because it was a place in Greece. And he was called by a vision from God of a man pleading in Macedonia. Notice that in verse 8 and 9, it says about the man pleading in Macedonia. Now, this provision, I think, provided Paul with some comfort because he was now given a specific place to go. And a door was now open for Paul to step through. And remember, Paul was a man of action. So as soon as that door opened, Paul's going to run through it. You know, so he's getting some comfort. Now he's like, okay, God, I'm seeing what you're doing here. I understand, Lord. Comfort was now coming. But I want to look at the Macedonian man for a minute, okay? I want to look at this vision of the Macedonian man. And I want to just check out this vision real quick. First, look at the condition of the pleading man. Look at the condition of the pleading man. What does it say? I want you to look. The man, again, represented the Macedonians. And the Macedonians were representative of the whole continent of Europe that needed the gospel, that was in darkness. Now, the Macedonians, who were Grecians, they seemed to have everything they needed. They had the great philosophers, you know, great philosophers at the time, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They had great military heroes like Alexander the Great. They had great athletic games. Remember, y'all, the Olympics were started in this area. And their architecture, their culture, they had great wealth. It seemed that they had everything that they needed in Macedonia. But they lacked one thing. They lacked the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They lacked the knowledge of our Lord. See, they didn't have what was most important, and that was a relationship with God that brings about eternal life. That's what they lacked. Now, the pleading man, noticed that he said the words, help us, help us. The us is plural, which indicates the entire city of Macedonia. So it wasn't just a mission or a mission to take the gospel to one man, but it was a mission to take the gospel to many. To many. So Paul now knew his mission. But let's look at the commending of the pleading also. Let's look at the commending of the pleading man. See, I think that because there were some things that were also commendable about this vision of the man pleading. Okay? One of the things I thought that was commendable was that this person realized that there was great spiritual need. They realized there was great spiritual need, that there was something lacking in the lives of these Europeans, of these Macedonians, that there was a God-like hole that needed to be filled. So they realized that something was missing. Also, the seeking to have their spiritual needs, this hole in their lives caused these people to want to go out and seek truth. That's why there were so many great and wonderful Greek philosophers who tried to attempt to find truth by looking at the natural world. So they knew they needed help, but they sought out and tried to find help. And notice there was an attitude of desperation in this plea. It was a cry of help, and it was a cry that said, we need help now. You need to come with this gospel now. We're ready, but we just don't know what the truth is. We just have no idea what this truth is. We're searching for the truth spiritually. We know there's something out there greater than who we are. We just don't know what it is. So he's like, help us. It's a plea that would move the heart of any evangelist, especially the Apostle Paul. And move he did. So, you know, during World War II, there was a British destroyer, and it was hit in the hull by a Nazi torpedo, and it happened about 190 miles from a safe port. Now, the ship was still seaworthy, but it was taking on water. It was taking on water, and it was sinking fast. So the men in the ship's belly, they worked frantically trying to keep the ship afloat, trying to keep the engines running, trying to keep the water pumped out so the ship could still stay seaworthy. Now, a section after section after section of the ship's cabins filled with water, these men still stayed at their posts and they performed their jobs and they risked their lives so the ship could stay afloat. They put their lives at danger so the ship could arrive safely to port. Now, when the ship pulled into port in time, it was eventually evacuated, repaired, and put back into service. And why? Because these men stayed faithful and performed their duties, even during difficult times. Ships were saved. Many lives were saved. Why? Because of faithfulness. And I think it is with us. Same thing with us. During times of transition, in your notes, do not stop serving God. Do not stop serving God during these transitional moments in your life. Don't do it. Don't stop serving God. That's the biggest mistake you can make. The biggest mistake you can make. Oh, I just don't know. There's too much confusion. God is not the author of confusion, so I got to step back. No, that's not true. That's untrue. Still serve God. And when you serve God, we must keep going on with the work of God when we have negative experiences. Keep going on when you have your negative experiences. Do not complain about your present circumstances. Don't complain, not to God or to others. People do this. People complain when they're in these negative experiences to elicit sympathy for yourself. You want to elicit sympathy for yourself and justify your negative behaviors. So what do? You complain. You complain, and it tries to give you justification for bitterness. Don't complain, and don't be discouraged if you know these negative experiences are from God. Don't be discouraged, because discouragement, what does it do? It causes you to slow down and eventually stop working. So don't allow discouragement to work from you, especially when you know it's from God. Instead, I want you to wait on the Lord and trust in Him for further instructions. He's not going to leave you at that point of transition where you don't know which way to go. He's not going to leave you in your negative experiences, church. He's not going to leave you in front of a wall that you cannot come over. It's not going to happen. The Bible says that He's going to be with us in every single circumstance. I will not leave you or forsake you. He is there with you through your experiences, church. He's not going to abandon you. Trust me. How many of y'all know? How many of y'all could be a witness with me that the Lord does not leave you in negative experiences? Raise your hand high for the brothers who don't notice and the sisters who don't notice. God will not leave you. In fact, He's not only not going to leave you, but He's going to take you and guide you to the future that He desires for you. So stick closely during the Lord. Have faith in Him during these times, though. Don't give up. Don't stop serving Him. All right? And let me tell you something else. We got to continue working for the Lord. In your notes, continue working for the Lord in a world that needs our help. Continue working because the world needs your help. You know, our nation, though appearing to have everything, it basically lacks Christ. You know, we're the most richest, most powerful nation on the earth. And yet was considered one of the largest mission fields on earth. Did you all know that? America, the United States, is considered one of the largest mission fields on earth. And we got everything we need. But some people say we are now in a post-Christian era where we are abandoning the things that our nation was founded upon, the morals and the principles that our nation was founded upon, Judeo-Christian principles. We are abandoning them and we are following after other things. They say we are in a post-Christian era. So we appear to have everything, but we are lacking some things, and that is the spiritual necessity of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Instead, our nation is seeking out new spiritual experiences. And it's very popular, these new experiences, like the New Age movement, some of these Near Eastern religions and thoughts and yoga, false religions coming in. Cults are just exploding. Mormonism is like one of the biggest cult groups growing at the time right now. It's one of our largest cults growing. So people are seeking out these new experiences, these new religious experiences. Look at Oprah. What is that spiritual thing she used to have? Knowing your spirit. Remember that? Wasn't it something like that? Knowing your spirit or something, some garbage like that. These are new spiritual experiences that we're talking about. You know, find the God-like spark inside of you. And allow that spark to grow and flourish. What a bunch of bunk that is, y'all. That's a bunch of bunk. But that's what our nation is seeking out right now. You see, our nation sees the need for God. 77% of Americans believe in God. That's a fact. They believe in it. Yes, we're a spiritual people. Yes, we are a religious people. But what we're thinking about this God is different. Just because 77% believe in God don't mean that 77% believe in the same God that you do. The God of Scripture, the God of the Bible. I'd say a vast majority are making up their own understanding of God. We only got in a nation that 77% believes in God, we only got about 46% church attendance. So somebody's wrong. Somebody's making some errors here. A large percentage of our population, millions upon millions upon millions. So our nation, in your notes, needs the church to respond to their cry of help. Our nation needs the church to respond to this cry of help. We have to have a zeal to serve Christ. That means that our passions have to be to show Jesus Christ to others. That's got to be passion inside of us. That we want to show the love, the care, the characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit to a world that is desperate and in need of help. To a nation that is hungry to know who this God is. So we got to have a zeal to serve Christ. And also we have to have a zeal to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're not just showing the gospel with our actions, but we're preaching it with our voices. Then when people say, how come you ain't swearing? You know, I see you at work every day. You don't curse. Why? Don't leave them there. Oh, I'm a good person. No, it's because Christ is operating in me. Christ is bringing about change in me. Don't take no credit for that. Give it to God. That's God's work. That's God's thing. You give it to God. All right? This way they'll understand that this is what the gospel has done for you. That it's changed you and you behave this way. That you show the characteristics of Jesus Christ because he's your Lord and your master. And you're just following after him. That he changed your life, he could change yours too. All right? Don't be afraid of the gospel. So we say that God gave Paul a vision so his missionary attempts could still continue. But also, as he gave him the vision, there was also a pondering of the events. The apostle and his companions pondered the events that they were going through. They pondered the vision that they saw. And they came to a conclusion in an attempt to find God's will. So let's look at some of these pondering of events. All right? Paul's missionary endeavors were continued after he had seen the vision and was sure of God's will. Verse 10. Check out verse 10, okay? Come with me to verse 10. And how was Paul sure of God's will? Verse 10 gives us the answer, the assurance of how he knew that this was God's will. The first thing they did, Paul discussed the vision with his two companions. He discussed the vision with Silas and Timothy, and he also discussed it with Luke. The writer of the Gospel of Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, Luke the physician. They all discussed it together. They thought about what happened and what was God attempting to say and do. So they got together and they discussed it. They were clearing up all doubts and confusion about the events that they were going through. And they were trying to discern God's will for them. So they were trying to discern what was going on, how they would proceed, what they were to do. Where were they to go? They got together. They collaborated. You want to determine God's will? Collaborate. Get together. Figure out what's going on. And in the end, they had concluded that God had called them. That was their final conclusion. They needed to take the missionary, the mission journey westward into what is now Europe. That's what they had concluded. They had to take the missionary journey westward. And it's a good thing they did, because for the past 2,000 years, Europe was the cradle of Christianity. It's not no more. That has now shifted into places like South America and Asia. The shift now has occurred. But for 2,000 years, this was the beginning of that center of Christianity, that center of European Christianity. And how did they conclude that God had called them? They considered first the vision of Paul. They considered that what he saw about the man from Macedonia. So they considered the vision. They considered all the closing of the doors and how God had stopped them from moving in certain areas. And then they also considered some of those strong convictions of Paul that kept him moving in all these various directions. So they put all that together, and they came up with a solution. They came up with an answer to the problems. You know, sometimes I think people make decisions without really thinking them through. You know, like this story about the preacher. And he had received a call from another church that wanted to pay him four times his present salary that he was making at his present church. So because this preacher was a wise man and he was a devout man, he went to the Lord in prayer and he thought about the situation. Well, one day, someone had asked the pastor's son, a friend had asked the pastor's son, "So, did you guys decide on what you're going to do? Are you going to be leaving or are you going to be staying?" And the son's response was, "Well, my dad's praying, but my mom's packing." You see, because I think sometimes that we respond that we don't make good decisions about what we're supposed to do because we don't think them through. God has given you a mind to think things through. And sometimes we are rash in our decision-making, and we see what's in front of us without thinking three or four steps ahead. And it's because of that sometimes we make unwise decisions. So let's look at our notes again. Carefully consider what has happened so you can determine God's will. Carefully consider the events that led you up to the point where you're at to consider God's will. You want to know God's will? You got to think. If you believe you know God's will, talk about it with other people who are involved in the decision. Talk about it with others. How hard is that? That's what Paul did. He considered a variety of opinions and perspectives. And the same with you. Don't just lean on your own understanding or the understanding of one person, but go to a variety of people and try to come up with a consensus. And I'm not talking about democratic vote here. I'm talking about, you know, see if God's speaking the same way to other people. We all are indwelt with the same Holy Spirit. And if God desires to guide you, he might use another individual and another individual and another individual to take you to a certain direction. You know what I'm talking about? If you hear from three people, three Christian mature brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you hear from three of them and they tell you the exact same thing, maybe God's trying to talk to you. Duh. You know, maybe God has something to say through other people. So it's important for us to listen to the wisdom of others. It's okay. It's not a shot against you. It's a sign of maturity that you can come to others and you can find God's will because God is speaking to other people too. All right? Also, think about the events leading up to the final decision. Think about those events that led up to the final decisions. Don't operate on your emotions alone. Don't say, "I think we should go over here because I feel like it. Because my heart seems to be pulling me in this direction." Don't operate on those feelings alone. Now, I'm not saying feelings are bad, but I don't use my feelings as my barometer and my compass to lead me in whatever direction. Because a lot of times feelings are based upon the moment and feelings are not thought out. Do you hear what I'm talking about? A lot of times feelings will get us into trouble, won't it? I got some people up in here. When feelings will get you in trouble. I can start pointing, but I ain't going to point. Feelings will get you into trouble because there's something that occurs at the moment. It's something that springs up from inside of you, but it's not necessarily from here. Okay, so don't go on your feelings alone. Ponder all the events that have happened and meditate upon your thinking. Meditate upon the events. That means think. That means get those wheels in your mind going. Get those juices flowing. And think about the events. Okay? Now, I know some of you are like, man, Pastor Mike, that seems so simple. You don't have to tell us to think. Yes, I do. Because too often people make such stupid mistakes because they're not thinking. You know, I hear so often, oh, I just quit my job. Okay, well, do you have another job that you quit your one job? No. Well, that's not thinking. That's insanity, you know? To quit something without something else lined up is not thinking. It's operating on emotions. Oh, why'd you quit? Oh, because this person made me mad. Or I didn't get what I wanted from this individual. That's emotions that led you into a bad situation. So think, brothers and sisters, think. Think, use your mind. Then clear up any doubts you may have about how God may be speaking to you. Clear up any doubts. Look for what God is definitely not saying to you. And then look to what God is definitely saying to you. Then believe it. Hold on to it. Trust it once you figure it out. Once you clear up those doubts, grab a hold to what God is saying to you. Don't let it go. If you know this is God speaking to you, hold on. Say, okay, I believe you, Lord. I'm not going to let other people distract me from what I know is your will. I'm going to go forward with it. Y'all following me? All right. Next, make a sound conclusion based upon all the factors involved. Make a sound conclusion based upon all the factors involved. Consider how God has been operating in his process thus far. That means, what has God been doing with you up to this point? You know, then consider the negative and factors involved. What would be the consequences of this action if you take it to its logical conclusion? Would it be a positive effect or a negative effect? That means in our own feeble minds, we got to try to look forward to the future and predict what might happen that would be detrimental to my family or to me. So look to those negative factors. Consider those negative factors. Also consider your convictions and your passions. Where is your heart truly, and what are you truly excited about? You got to consider those things. What are some of the passions that stir you up and want you to move forward? What are some of those things? You know, too often, I hear some of the goofiest ways that people use to try to figure out God's will. I mean, just goofy, y'all. This is probably the most famous one. The people grab the Bible, open it up, put their finger on it. And whatever I touch, it has to be God's will. Oh, that's goofy. That's goofy. And too often we use God, like we use dreams in a wrong way to try to figure out God's will, don't we? Like the guy who wanted to buy a used car, and he was thinking, okay, you know, I'll pray for God to give me a dream to figure this out. And he dreamed about yellow and yellow. Okay, so he figured the next day when he woke up, then I got to buy a car, a yellow car. And he sure did, because the car was a lemon, you know? So... We don't want to do that. You know, some people, they use these little catchphrases to try to figure out what is God's will. You know, if it's odd, it's God. What the heck is that? And then what's the opposite of that? If it sneezes, it's Jesus? What the heck is that? You know, but we catch on to these little catchphrases, and we want to use it to find out God's will. No. Do what the Bible tells you. Follow after the example of the Apostle Paul, who used his mind, used his fellow brothers and sisters, used his experiences, kept going forward, didn't get discouraged, never stopped serving the Lord during all of this time. Use those things and you will find out God's will. You know, everyone everywhere, at all times, in all places, must deal with transitional moments in life. It's just the way it is. Everyone here has gone through a transitional moment. Should I marry this person or should I not? Should we have children now? Is now the right time to have children? What should I do now after the death of my loved one? Should I take this new job or not take this new job? Should I move away from my home into a new home? Should I attend this church or not attend this church? Should I be a part of this ministry or not a part of this ministry? Should I lead this ministry or not lead this ministry? These are all transitional moments. We all go through them. We all go through them. But the question is, how will you discover God's will and stay within God's will during these transitional times? And just a quick review, if we can have the worship team up here. Just a quick review. In discerning God's will during transitional times, we must look to the negative experiences that we have. During transitional times is probably the time where you will have the most negative experiences. Look to those negative experiences that you have. Do not stop serving God. Don't quit on the Lord during these transitional times, during these negative experiences. Do not stop serving God and carefully considered what has happened. Think about the events that led you up to where you're at now. And think about what the future will hold if you follow after one of these paths that are before you. Okay, it's pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Why is it so hard then? Why do I get so many times people questioning, I don't know what God's will is for me during these times. How do I discover God's will? How come so many people don't know which way to go? Because too often we are following after emotions. Too often we're following after our own understanding. Too often we're following after what we desire, not what God desires. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. Now, I just want to give some time for the altar. I want some time where we can come forward. For those of us who are maybe in a transitional moment right now in our lives, where we are in a point where we don't know which way to go, and we just need guidance from the Lord. Maybe I want you to come forward, and let's pray for you, that God will help give you guidance during these transitional moments. So if you're in a transitional time, come forward, and let us pray for you. Let God's people be there for you to help you through this transitional time. Also, maybe some of you guys are experiencing negative experiences right now, and you don't know what God's will is during this time. Maybe there's a negative experience and you're like, I don't see God's hand in this at all. Come forward and let's help you pray through some of these things so we can help you figure out what is God's will for you during these situations. So if you're experiencing a transitional time in your life, come forward. Let us pray for you. If you're having negative experiences, come forward. Let us pray for you. Let us help you to find guidance to help pray you through these transitional moments. And I know, y'all, they can be stressful. They can be perplexing. We don't know what's going to happen next. But God is with us, y'all. I want you to be encouraged that our Lord has never abandoned us, and He never will. He will provide you the guidance that you need. Why? Because He desires for you to accomplish His will. Because you're the only one who can achieve the plans He has for you. I cannot achieve the plans that God has for you. Your wife, your husband, your friends cannot achieve what God has for you. So He desires to reveal His will to you. The question is, do you want to know it? And then when you know it, do you want to do it? So I want to just open the altars up for this time right now. But I have one more question I want to bring out to people. One more challenge I want to bring out to the church. We might have somebody up in here today who does not know the will of God because you are completely out of the will of God because you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I just want to make an offer here that if you do not have a relationship with our Lord, that if you do not know Him, if He has not made residence inside of your heart, if you have not put your complete trust and hope in Him alone for your salvation and made Him the Lord and Master of your life, come forward. We'll pray for you. We won't embarrass you, but we'll give you a chance to respond to the call of salvation in your life. Thank you. And the Lord will produce that change. Thank you, y'all. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else who wants to make a decision today for Jesus Christ? If you don't know Him, today could be your day. Anybody else? Okay, great. Well, I just want to close us out in prayer, okay? Let's just close us out in prayer. And so we can let the people have some time at the altars, okay? Father God, I just ask You, Lord, to help us, Lord, to bring us comfort as we try to discover Your will. Sometimes, Lord, it could be hard. It could be hard for us as just people, Lord God, who don't know everything. And sometimes, Lord, we fail You during these times. But we just want to ask forgiveness, Lord God, that we have not lived up to everything that You have desired for us, Lord God, that we have not become all that You wanted us to be. And Lord, we want to follow after You now. So we just ask You, Lord, to help us, to comfort us with Your presence right now, Lord God. To help us to trust more in Your guidance, Lord God. That we will not only know Your word, that we will not only know Your will, but we will be doers of it. That we will go forward with the gospel of peace. And we will not rest, and we will not pause, and we will not stop. But we will continue on and on, Lord, because You love us, and we love You too, Lord God. So be with Your people today, Lord, and every day as we seek to do Your will. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen, amen. Thank you, church. Thank y'all.